I'd like to welcome everyone to Robertson County Church of Christ. I think Mr. Fred said it was our 28th lectureship. I've been chosen to do the topic of marriage, being married for about 3 months. I guess I'm a professional on it. But the main topic this year of the lectureship is false doctrines. Today I'll be speaking about false doctrines about marriage. Well, we've already ran over about 5 minutes, so that's good. I'm going to cover about 5 topics, and just basically the best way I know how to do it is just to say what the Bible proves. The first topic, an institution began by man. That's the false doctrine. If you flip in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 18. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Here in this scripture basically explains to me that obviously the institution was not made by man, it was made by God. He saw that the importance of woman was very important. He knew that man would not be able to make it through this world alone. He knew that the importance of marriage was going to be great in the world to come, and that man and woman together form that companionship, that partnership, would be necessary for a good home, a good Christian home. And my second point, the second false doctrine about marriage, it's an institution that can be broken by man. If you flip in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, starting at verse 6, we'll read there, the Bible says, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." So that's obviously a false doctrine, because if an institution was formed by God and he said no man was to put it asunder, then obviously there's, as we'll read in a minute, there's one reason in the scripture for man to put it asunder. Other than that, there's no reason. In Matthew 19, if you stay in that same chapter, starting at verse 3, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have been made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." So in these verses, it says the only reason for man to put away his wife, be it for fornication. You know, I know in homes, in just the little time that I've been married, you're going to have arguments. There's going to be displeasures, discomforts. But that doesn't mean you just end it straight away. You know, you've got to work through. That's why God made woman to be with man, so the two could learn to get through hardships together, not just, you know, during the good times. If you turn to Matthew 14, we'll start reading there at the beginning of the chapter and continue through verse 4. It says, "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him.' For Herod had laid a hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.'" In this story, Herod took his brother's wife, and then John the Baptist condemned this. Therefore, Herodias told Herod that she wanted John the Baptist's head. So John the Baptist, Herod beheaded John the Baptist. So basically, Philip was married to his wife, and Herod, his brother, stole her. And all that did was cause more harm. Herod and Herodias were upset that John the Baptist had condemned this and therefore killed him. I think it says a lot about kind of the way we live today. People want to be able to get away with whatever they want to do, no matter what their commitment to their wife or their family. That's just not how things work. You have to be loyal to the one person in your life, not whoever you want it to be. And the third point, the marriage institution may be violated without serious consequences. That's another false doctrine. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis 19... starting at verse 4, the Bible says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them.'" It says in the Bible that perversion, the sin of perversion, the sin of homosexuality, as we read here, because it says, "Bring them unto us that we may know them." Sins like this cause nations to sink and rise no more. There's examples on the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah, Babylon, Rome, Greece, where all of these sins that were basically homosexuality based were destroyed by this sin. If you read in Genesis 19, chapter 23. Verse 23, it says, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered the Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." So due to this sin of perversion, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, with brimstone and fire, just wiped out the entire land. If you flip in your Bibles to Jude 7, the Bible says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." So this basically leads me to my next point. I mean, is this something you see here, that due to the sin of fornication and strange flesh, homosexuality, God destroyed these lands? Will this happen to us? Is my next point. And in the world that we live in today, these are things that are people are trying to make you openly be okay with. They don't want it talked about in a bad manner. They don't want people to look down upon homosexuality, fornication, all over television, news, and everything, all the time you see different stories about all these TV shows of women and men being together out of wedlock. Flipping your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Says there in verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Basically, righteousness can bring God's blessing on a nation, but sin can bring God's curse. I think we really need to pay attention to that, because although good can bring God's good, bad can bring his worst. My fourth point, marriage has selfish motives, another false doctrine. The first motive we will focus on is companionship. Flip in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. The Bible says there, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him and meet for him." God knew that the man, going back to the first point, would not be able to go through this life alone. He needed a companion. So therefore, he took the rib out of Adam's body and made woman. Flipping your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll focus on a few verses there, speaking of the same things. In verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Skip down to 28. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Skip down to 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." In these three verses, just these three verses alone, it says in every one of them, let the husbands love them wives as their self. It's easy to be selfish. I think that companionship and the highest motive being love teaches us to practice love, to practice unselfishness. That we're not going to be able to get through this life with one another. No one's ever going to be happy all the time. But you can't just stop trying just because of that fact. You have to continue on. It says, "Have you learned how to exhibit love?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read there, starting at verse 4, it says, "Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth." Jesus said the greatest command was to love God with all thy heart. Love never faileth. Sometimes we may not believe that, but here in the Bible it clearly states that with love anything's possible. You have to keep trying. And finish out that verse, "But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And my fifth and final point this morning, marriage has not blessed the world, is another false doctrine. I'm going to read a few chapters here, a few scriptures in the Bible that absolutely proves that marriage, without marriage, three of the most important men in the Bible would not be in the Bible. They never would have come about. If you flip in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2, we'll start there. Beginning at verse 1, carry on through verse 10, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a godly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she said, compassion, and she had compassion on him and said, "This one of the Hebrew's children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So here we see, had this marriage never been formed, and this child never been born, there would have been no Moses. Therefore, there would have been no Jewish nation, and therefore no Jesus. Marriage has not blessed the world. I think right here in this one verse, or this 10 verses, this one chapter, it proves that marriage absolutely blessed the world. If you flip in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verse 23. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Just another verse proving that, you know, Moses, because he was born unto parents, to two parents of one household, they saw he was a proper child. You know, that's, thankfully for that marriage, the world was blessed with Moses. If you flip to 1 Samuel in chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, the Bible says there, "And she said, O my Lord, as the soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. In this verse here, it says that, you know, the same thing. Had this marriage not been formed and this child not been born, there would have been no Samuel. And the final one, we'd like to flip to Luke chapter 1. And there we will read of the most important man in the scripture. Starting at verse 31, the Bible says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be a great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Had this marriage not been formed, this child not been born, there'd be no Jesus, there'd be no Mary. Which sends me back to the original topic of the original point. Marriage has not blessed the world. We've read here in 3 short passages of the Bible that's 3 men that were very important to all mankind, especially Jesus. If there was no Jesus, there'd be no way of us having the hope of eternal life when this world is over. It says, "Would to God that every marriage would bless mankind." If you flip to Hebrews 13, I'll make my last point about this lesson. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." I think marriage really teaches us how to be unselfish. It really teaches us to love one another, especially our wives. It's very important for children. We have a lot of young children here. I'm pretty young still. But it says, "May God help us all have marriages that will bless the Lord." Thank you for your time.